Morning, saints.
Morning.
So we're talking about this idea of more. And I mentioned to you last week that a lot of what I talk about is coming from a book called More, How We Can Have Everything in Christ But More of the Spirit. And it's by a guy called Simon Ponsonby. If you want to order it, it's about £12 on Eden.co.uk. If you want to be naughty and order it from Amazon, you can. It's about £10. So it just depends on whether you want to be ethical and support Christians or support Amazon. It's entirely your choice. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But you should probably buy it from Eden. Just kidding. So last week we looked at the introduction, and what I really wanted to do was help you to kind of understand and grasp some of the barriers to the more of God. So unexpectant hearts are just, we're just not expecting God to do anything because we don't know our Bibles. Unyielded hearts, that's hearts where, you know, actually we just want to be in control. We forget about God and his will, we want to be in control. Unconfessed sin. Something in our lives where we just haven't dealt with it. We've just not said to the Lord, I'm sorry. An unclaimed inheritance. We talked about how the fact that Joshua had to lead the people into the land of Israel, but the people have got to claim it. It means you have to physically do something to claim your inheritance. You have to take it like a gift, unwrap it. And then we talked about unbelief because of unworthiness. And we said this was the biggest barrier to receiving the more of God. Why? Because we just don't think God will give it to us because somehow we're unworthy. For some reason, we're not good enough. Unbelief because of unworthiness. And so today we're going to move on from the barriers and move on in to talk about love, more love. And we might have to do this over two sessions because I don't know how you can talk about love in one sermon because it's so big, especially when we're talking about God and God's love. So I want to read to you from a couple of different places in Scripture. I want to read to you from the book that nobody reads from in the Bible because they're afraid of it and they don't know what it means and what it's about. Again, I'll suggest another book for you called The Song of Songs. And this is written by a guy called Charlie Cleverly. And again, you can find that on Eden or on Amazon. And he goes through the whole song and he talks about it. And people have got real issues with the Song of Songs. A lot of people think that, it's just about sex and marriage and that's all it's about. It's a Hebrew love poem and that's all it is. But then you get the traditional interpretation where the Song of Songs is actually an allegory between Christ and the church. What Charlie Cleverly, very cleverly does, you see what I did there, he actually weaves the two together and he says you can see it both ways. And he doesn't push the allegory too far. What's happened in the past is people have pushed the allegory too far to make the text say something that it doesn't say. But actually, if we read it with New Testament eyes, you can see that. But I want to just read the first few verses of the first chapter. Song of Songs chapter 1. This is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is perfume poured out. Therefore the maidens, they love you. Draw me after you. Let us make haste. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will exult and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Very interesting there at the end. Love is a jealous thing when it's exclusive, but yet paradoxically it can... What seems to be suggested here is that, right at the end there, is that love can be rejoiced in corporately as well. Think about a wedding. So, you know, the bride here is extolling her husband, desperately longing for her husband, and yet at the same time, she's noticing that other people notice her husband, and they quite fancy him as well. And she's saying, yeah, that's absolutely right, because his love is better than wine, because he is amazing. And there's that sense that, yes, it is exclusive, but she's not, and yes, there is a jealous aspect to it, but also there's a, yeah, rejoice with me, yeah, because my husband is amazing. Which is just fascinating. And I really encourage you to read the whole of the Song of Songs and ask the Lord, what are you saying to me through this? And get the book, read it. It's just a wonderful read. It will encourage you, it will bless you. So yeah, the Song of Songs, Charlie Cleverly, great book. And then Ephesians 3, we read this last week, but again, I want to pick up on some of the things. I'm not going to talk about the texts necessarily, but they're helping us to focus our hearts. For this reason, Paul says in chapter 3, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. If you haven't guessed, that's the next sermon series, the next sermon, power. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love, and that you might have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the fullness of God's love. Perhaps I should have explained the context. It's the film Back to the Future, and you've got Marty there, who's come from 1980, whatever it was, to 1955, I think, and you've got Lorraine, who is in fact his mother. So you see, what I use that clip to illustrate is this. When we kiss, it's a point of revelation. Something is revealed to us when we kiss another person. It's a place of abandonment, yes. It's a place of opening ourselves up to somebody, but it's a place of revelation. We suddenly learn if we truly are attracted to this person, and if this person is attracted to us. The kiss is a place of revelation. And if you look at the world, the kiss is the kind of the thing that you choose your relationships, your romantic relationships on. Are they a good kisser? Well, yes, of course they are, so I'm going to go out with them. Why? Because they kiss good. So if they kiss good, they must do everything else really well too. It's a point of revelation. And you have there, in the Song of Songs, the girl, the bride, whichever one you want to, it depends on who you read, depends on how you call, what you call her. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is the deepest longing of her heart. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Some of you are sitting there thinking, well, this is so far beyond my life. We don't kiss anymore. I've not had a proper kiss in years. You're not 50 and finished. You're not past it. Nobody's past it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is part of the deepest longings of this poor bride's heart. She is utterly besotted with her bridegroom. She loves him because his love is better than wine. It's that metaphor of wine smoothly goes over the lips. It's the same kind of metaphor. That's a picture of God's love. And the Song of Songs is all about this intimacy. This intimacy in relationship to marriage, in the marriage bed. And as we said, it's this allegorical thing between the church and Christ. But it's not sexual. That relationship is not sexual. Our society wants to make everything sexual. But it's not a sexual intimacy. It's a closeness such that you've never experienced before. And what is important for us to notice from the Song of Songs is that the love of God for his creation is overwhelming. The love of God for his creation is completely overwhelming. And that's part of what we call grace. And we see that love of God for his creation in the person of Jesus, in the life of Jesus. We see him sending Jesus from the glory of heaven into the earth to be born. And if you've ever seen a child born, you know how gross it is. And that's in our lovely pristine hospitals. And Jesus was born with the animals in a dingy, horrible place. And he came from the glory of heaven and assumed human form. Didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but became obedient and humbled himself. God sends Jesus to the world. Jesus sends the disciples. He makes the church and sends the disciples. He sends the Holy Spirit to the disciples so that they might be the same as Jesus in the world. Friends, those disciples, it's you and me. It's everybody who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, then come and talk to me afterwards. I've got a great little script to go through with you, and we can sort that out straight away. The body of Christ. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. That divine kiss that the Song of Songs is often talked about, it's called a divine kiss. And the early church fathers thought, do you know what? The divine kiss was Jesus coming into the world. This was God and humanity being joined together. That's what the early church fathers called it. Other people call it the coming and the filling of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. I'll let you decide what you want to do. I tend to go along, I think both. I'm quite happy to go both. And what I'm asking you now is this. Have you ever experienced God's love where you say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth because his love is better than mine? Have you ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in your life where you say, wow, I need more of that in my life? Because if you haven't, you need to. Because this is what Paul says in Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit, it sheds abroad the love of God in our heart. That's the whole point of the Spirit of God. He gives us the love of God. How does this happen? How do we get to this point, like the girl in Song of Songs, where we're desperate, desperate for the love of God? And the first thing is this. And you're going to sit there and you say, really? But it's true. The way this happens is through worship. Worship. And again, I want to point to you that worship is not just what we do for an hour on a Sunday morning. That is an expression of our worship, but it is not our worship. Our worship is found in the everyday moment. When we're washing up, when we're going in the car, when we're going to work, when we're telling children off because they've done something stupid, when we're telling each other off because we've done something stupid. All of our life is an expression of worship to God. It's not just singing songs, because our whole life expresses worship. Now, the Greek word, going to get geeky on you for a minute, the Greek word for worship that is used in the New Testament perhaps the most, there are a few different words, but the one that is used quite a lot is proskuneo, which is literally means the bowing towards, the pros, bending towards, and then kuneo, which means I kiss, which means to kiss. bent toward. That's the literal meaning. That's not the actual meaning of the word, but that's the literal, that's what the two words in Greek mean. It actually means to honour, to reverence, to pay homage, to do obeisance, actually, is what it means. And you know what obeisance is? It's when you kneel before a ruler and you give them the honour and the respect that they are due. And so it's interesting that the word we use for worship in the Greek talks about kissing. I find that fascinating. Kissing. Because, as we said, take you back to the beginning, when he said a kiss is a point of revelation. When we worship, it is a point of revelation. It is when we have to us revealed the God who is Lord of all. It's when we learn who God is and who we are as a result in worship. And again, I point to you, that's not just in a worship service, that is every day. When we are consciously reflecting upon God, we learn who He is and we learn who we are as a world. That He is God and we're not. That He is central and we're not. And we used to use that old phrase, do you remember when, I don't know if you ever had this when you were growing up, but we used to have this picture that was given of the Christian life, where you have your heart, and there's a throne in your heart, and who's sitting on the throne of your life? Have you ever had anybody ever talk to you about the throne? Who's sitting on the throne? Some of you have been in around and have heard it. But it's the throne of your life. Who's sitting on the throne? Is it you or is it God? Because if it's you, then whose will are you obeying? Who are you worshipping? Who's important? You see, when we submit to God in worship, things change. Holy Spirit pours out the love of Christ into our hearts as we submit to God. And what happens is this divine kiss, we experience it for the first time, and it's like the woman, it's like the girl. We want more of it. It's like it becomes an insatiable desire. I'll give you an illustration of that. When we had the turning, as I said last week, we had that one evening which was incredible. And we were just flat out in worship to God. We were confessing sins and all kinds of stuff. It was amazing. I can't believe what happened. And then when the week finished, and we weren't having the encounter evenings anymore, I was like, oh, where's it gone? I need it back. I need the kiss of God back. I want to read to you, this is Simon Ponsonby's summary of the Song of Songs. And he goes right through from the verse 1 right through to the end of chapter 8. And he says this: we need to kindle that flame of passion for Him. We need to find the kisses of His mouth more delightful than wine. We need to be taken to His banquet hall and know that His banner over us is love. We need to lie on our bed all night longing and looking for His love. We need to hear Him speak words of love over us, to know His thoughts for us. We need to hear Him knock on the door and bid us open to Him. We need to arise to Him and be willing to go out in the night after Him, no matter what obstacles stand in our way. We need to show the world that I am my beloved and He is mine. And we need to know His constant refrain over us: my love, my dove, you are beautiful. We need to desire the one who desires us and take Him into that secret place where we give Him our love. We need to know and show Him that love which flashes like fire. The love, this love between lovers, which waters cannot quench, which floods cannot drown, which offers cannot tempt away. This is the love that must mark our marriage to Christ. I read that and I was floored. I couldn't read any more after that. I was like, that's the kind of love. And our worship expresses that. And He comes to us. That's how it happens. We need to
love God, but also we need God to love on us.
Friends, some of you here today resist the love of God in your life. You say, do you know what, Lord? I am not worthy to receive it. I want to say right now, stop that! Don't do it anymore! Stop resisting the love of God for you. I used to do that. I'll be honest with you. That was what characterized my relationship with God. He'd try and come close and I'd say, no, I don't want to know that, Lord. I don't want to know your love. Because it's scary when you come to that place of revelation and he tells you who you are and how much he really, truly, absolutely, completely loves you. And you just say, but Lord, that's not true. And he says, no, that's a lie. Anytime you ever think that God doesn't love you, it's a lie. The enemy wants you to believe a lie that God doesn't love you and you're never going to be good enough. Stop believing that. Stop it. And start believing the truth that God loves you. And the second thing as to how this thing happens, and it's be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's on the screen. But everywhere it says love, we're going to replace the word love with God. God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. God does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never ends. You could also do a little experiment on yourself and say, could you put your name there where it says love? And that's also a challenge, but that's another sermon altogether. But what you notice there when we replace the word love with God, you suddenly realize this love is God. God is love. And when we experience the filling of the Holy Spirit, that is literally like the love of God coming to us in a tangible way. It's this reality of love is patient, kind, etc., poured into our hearts in a genuine, tangible way. I've been also reading briefly a book called The Way of Blessing, and it's by a guy called Roy Godwin, who is the executive director of a trust, of the Valdebrennen Trust. Valdebrennen is a retreat centre in the Preseli Mountains of West Wales. It takes you about 5.5 hours to get there because the roads are about this narrow and it's literally on the side of a hill. So it's an absolutely amazing place. It was amazing before they got there, but it's even more amazing now. People go to Valdebrennen and they are healed. They are set free. They have had stories of people coming out of the car, stepping onto the car park and being delivered of a demon instantly, just from stepping out of the car. I mean, it's incredible. They've had people, he just tells story after story of how people have been healed and delivered and set free from just what God is doing, just by being there. Just literally by being there. And he talks about his journey and how it got to this point. And he talks about his father. Because, you know, we call God Father, and we often equate Father God with Dad on earth. And you may have had an amazing father. If that's you, praise the Lord. I'm so grateful to God for godly fathers. You may have had the best father. But more often than not, we have fathers who mistreat us. Maybe sometimes in ways that they don't realize that they're mistreating us. But our earthly fathers, they're imperfect. No matter how amazing they might be. But also, they're imperfect. And so we often equate Father God and Dad with the same person. It's not true. Father God is Father God. And this is what happened with Roy. He talks about how his father was an incredible disappointment to him. And maybe that was you. Maybe you had a disappointing father. Maybe I had a disappointing father. The point is, Roy's dad was a huge disappointment to him. He promised one day, for example, that when he got home from work, they would go to the park and play football. And he's talked about this the whole day long. I'm going to play footy with Dad tonight. I'm going to play football tonight with my dad. He was really excited. And then, of course, evening came. His dad comes home late from work. They have dinner, he gets his cigar out or whatever in the paper, and the whole thing of going to the park is, that's gone. And no matter how much his mum tried to take up for him and say, oh, well, he's really busy and he's there very tired and all the rest of it, the disappointment was already there. He was bitterly disappointed. But then he came into an experience of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And he said, suddenly, I understood who God was. He is the Father you've always wanted. He was the Father that I'd always... God was my Father, the one that had, who would never disappoint me. And it was a revelation of the love of Father God. And this is what... he says, this is how the kingdom works. You know you are loved and you find yourself loving others. You know you are forgiven and you find yourself forgiving others. You find yourself accepted and of course you find yourself accepting others. There is an outflow, a reflection of what he has done for you towards others as your heart attitudes change. And of course, aware of such undeserved blessing, you want to share more about the kingdom of God. The idea about the heart of God, that blessing expresses. You see, Roy's testimony is that he found the love of God, the Father, for himself, and as a result, it propelled him to love and bless others. The whole book is called The Way of Blessing, and they have cultivated a culture of blessing people so that when you come, you get a blessing. You get a blessing as you enter, you get a blessing as you go, and you get a blessing at prayers. Why? Because of the love of the Father. If we want to love one another, if we want to bless the world, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to worship, we've got to come towards to kiss, we've got to do that obeisance in our everyday lives, and we've got to be filled with the Spirit. And as we experience the love of the Father, we express it to everyone around us. And so the question and the challenge for us this morning is, because all that's very nice to hear the story of somebody, but God will never do that to me. And again, I point you back to the barrier of unworthiness. There is nothing you can do or say or have done or have said that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing you can do, say, have said, have done, will do, will say, that can make God love you any less than he already does. There's nothing that you can do, say, etc., that will make him love you any more. He loves because he loves because he loves because he is love. And my question for us is today, what does our life look like? Are we dripping with expectation and an insatiable desire for the presence of God, such that every day we get up, we say, Lord, we need your presence and need your love because I can't do it today? Or are we the opposite? Are we confused about who God is? He is the aloof father who's never there for those who had absentee fathers. Or maybe he's the disappointing father. Or maybe he's the abusive father. Maybe he's the uninterested father. Where are you at today? Where am I at today? You see, God has come close to us in Christ. He has come close to us in Christ. To come closer still in the Spirit of God. So friends, where are you at? Where am I at? Where are we at today? Is God over there somewhere? Or is he in here somewhere? Close. Where is our desire? And if he is close, are we showing other people the love that he has shown us? Like we talked about in the Song of Songs, it's jealous, but paradoxically, it can be shared. It's a jealous love, but paradoxically, we can share it. We want to show it off. When you've experienced the love of God, you know, you're like a lovesick girl. Whenever she's been touched by the love of her dreams, you don't hear, you know, she doesn't stop talking about it. It should be the same, even more so, and not in a superficial way, about what God has been doing in us. Where are we this morning? Let's pray this morning. There is time this morning to allow the love of God to come and fill you afresh. And I can't pray with you this morning because I'm on the keys. But come forward, and if you want to, like the word, bend towards to kiss. Kneel down on the floor. And you know, there's a psalm that says, kiss the sun. We don't actually know what that bit means. But I like to think it's an allusion to worship. To saying, come. And friends, what I want to do, I want to give you a minute to just process the one thing that God's speaking to you. And then I feel the Lord wants to do something in people's hearts this morning. Really tangible. So I'm just going to give you a minute while I have a drink. To just, Lord, what's the thing that you're telling me? And what am I going to do about it? And then I've got something that I think the Lord wants to help me. So the first thing is that unworthiness thing that keeps coming back to me. And what I think God wants us to do is just say a simple prayer to him, either out loud or in our hearts, and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've not believed that you love me. And so if that's you, you can either say that out loud, you can repeat after me, or you can just, I won't look around, so I don't know. And you can say, Lord, I'm sorry that I have not allowed you to love me as your child. Lord, I'm sorry that I have viewed you as aloof, uninterested, distant, uncaring, abusive, or disappointing. Whichever one of those you choose, whichever one is for you. Lord, I'm sorry for that. And I want to change the way I think now. And think the way you think. I want to receive your love afresh. And so friends, for those of us that don't need to repent necessarily but we just never had the opportunity to receive the love of God afresh, it might be helpful for you to put your hands out in front of you like this. Just maybe rest them on your lap and have your palms up. It is a posture of receiving, and that's, you know, it's so good to just physically make a posture. And just say, Lord, I want to receive your love for me today. He is the best father you'll ever have. He is the father that you've longed for your entire life. There is nothing in all creation to separate us from his love. Holy Spirit, your job is to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Right now, for those who have our hearts and our hands open towards you, Lord God, come now and fill us with your love afresh. Come. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your love. Thank you, God. Thank you. Some people, when they get a touch of the love of God, they get joy and they start to laugh uncontrollably. If you feel the urge to laugh, do it. There is a safe place. If you want to laugh, laugh. I'm not saying anyone necessarily feels it, but if you want to laugh, love. Laughing is good. It scares the devil away. He can't stand happiness. He can't stand the joy of God. Holy Spirit, come with your love right now. Shed abroad the love of Father God in our hearts. Give us that joy that we have not experienced before. That joy inexpressible. Let it come in waves, we pray, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you. We wait on you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Others of you, you might get a tingle in your spine or in your hands. You might feel the urge to move. That's because the love of God cannot be contained in a human body. It's too big. The Lord gave me a vision once, and He said, and it was me on an operating table, and He cracked open my chest, He took out my heart, and He started to put His heart in there. But it didn't fit. And I didn't understand, and He said, yes, it's not supposed to fit, because it's too big for you. That's why it overflows. That's the way the kingdom works. Lord, where our heart is broken, cracked, dry, where it does not beat with the love of God, right now, God, will you come and give us your heart? Holy Spirit, shed abroad the love of God in our hearts now. Thank you, Lord.